Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in, for people who have supported this show. I'm so sorry. 2 weeks ago, the show had to be canceled. That was out of my control. And we're just going to move on. So are you ready? Am I ready? Are we ready? That's the question on tonight. So I have two wonderful people that are going to be calling in to the show. And before we get into that, you know, I always do a little bit of background on the show. The show reaches the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, Dominican Republic, and South Africa and Nigeria. So if you know anybody that lives in those places, tell them to share with their friends so we can have more people that are overseas tuning into the show and here in the USA as well. So if you're not ready, go get ready. Run and get that popsicle out the freezer. Go get you some popcorn real quick and just sit back and listen and enjoy the show. I'm going to read my past guests at the end of the show because it's so very long. So we reach over 10,000 in listeners, and this is about 500-plus episodes, probably more than that. I've been stopped counting, and this is the 13th season. So I was on a break in July because I had to prepare to go to Israel with my church, my apostles, and it was just truly a provoking time to get in touch with your your spirit in a deeper way. Seeing the places that Jesus walked was just surreal. It was challenging for me, extremely challenging physically. But I thank God I went. God made a way. I spoke it into existence. And, you know, apparently he okayed it because I was there. So in any case, I do want to move on, and I'm going to read some scriptures. And these scriptures are talking about being ready. So I'm going to read Isaiah 65:1. It says, "The Lord says, I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name." And so think about that. What is that saying to you? 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." And so I have been over the past, 21 years, 22 years of getting a better relationship with God, being taught, being growing in the faith. I have always been ready to explain. So that's something that I hope God will keep in my mouth and in my heart. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble." And we know that we pray to God, not just when we're in trouble, but when every day, you know what I'm saying? I wake up, the first thing I try to say out my mouth is, "Thank you, Jesus." You know what I mean? Even if I'm not able to get down on my knees because I'm in too much pain, that's where I start off first. You know, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently," let me say this again, "patiently correct." So if you are trying to correct someone, I don't even know why this is starting again. I did not hit that button. But if you're trying to correct someone, do it with patience and do it with love. And it says, "Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching." So I'm going to read one more scripture, and that's coming out of Job 29:12-13. And it says, "I assisted the poor in their need and the orphans who required help. I helped those without hope, and they blessed me. And I caused the widow's hearts to sing for joy." And so that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, going to the highways and the byways, people who are downtrodden and feeling hopeless, going through emotional issues, depression, helping somebody to not commit suicide, helping somebody that, you know, has nothing. And, you know, God put that in my path. I thought I would never, ever be homeless. But he was showing me something. That was a learning lesson, not just for me, but I was able to help other people in that circumstance who I would have never, ever probably came across and got to hear their stories and why they ended up the way that they did, what went on in their life. You know, just being there is a shoulder to cry on, literally. And so I don't regret it. It was something that had to be done, and it was definitely a humbling experience for me. I never slept on the street. I never was dirty. I always had food, even if it wasn't food that I wanted. So he got me to be strengthened in that situation and to be able to grow from that situation. And now looking back, I see all the things that he did in my life because of that situation. And so I do not take it lightly, and everybody can't survive all the things that I went through in that situation. So I understand that too. And so we're going to move on from there. And I do have some announcements. Bear with my voice. Just getting being sick and getting over that. So my voice is in and out, in and out, in and out. Donations, donations, donations. You can give to myself or Diamonds in the Rough or by ordering my art and books. Go to my website, which is on the description page, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. Go to the page where it says art, or go to the page where it says books. And then you can contact me, but read the descriptions, choose them first, and you can contact me if you're serious about purchasing anything. Text me, inbox me, DM me, email me. If you have my phone number, call me up. But the best thing to do would probably be text me first. I screen my calls for numbers that I do not know. You could pay by way of Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Square, POS, or in person. So contact me, 203-952-9807. Okay, there ain't no excuse. You got my number now. If you like me to be an MC, to teach, to preach, run a class, a forum on sexual assault or domestic violence, have me to do spoken word, be a comedian, want me to act or help you direct, or be a business consultant, which I do have my business credentials, fees and honorariums are mandatory. Payment plans for the art is accepted. I want to send condolences. A friend of mine lost her mom, Kanisha. So if you know her, pray for her and her family. I do want to talk real quickly about the Riverboat racial riot because it turned into so many jokes. But it was a very sad situation. And I believe Trump has incited so many different racial riots as if they've never existed before, because they have. But it just seems like the fire is lit under it because people think that they are entitled or have the right to do or say what they want to black people. And I want to say my heart goes out for the senior who was working there trying to do his job and was so viciously attacked by three white men, and then it grew. And so my heart goes out to him. I like to say that Trump is going to jail. I don't know if he's going to a special jail where it's like Martha Stewart type of jail when she went, which is like a country club, but he was found guilty and messing with the votes, because I knew Hillary was supposed to win. I knew it. I knew in my heart of hearts. I was living in Winston-Salem at the time, North Carolina. And I remember it so distinctly because I went to a party for Hillary Clinton at Winston-Salem University, supported her. Raheem Devon was there, so I got a chance to meet him again. It was wonderful. We all thought she was going to win. And I knew that this demon had done something. And so it was found that he actually did. So in any case, I want to start off just giving a couple of birthday shout-outs, because I do see that my first caller has called in, and she is waiting so patiently on the line. My brother-in-law, Sean Evans, who passed away, we usually celebrate him. His sisters and family give a big cookout and party in remembrance of him on July 16th. I missed it this year. This was the first year I missed it because I was over in Israel. So shout out to Sean Evans. Rest in heaven. Another shout out goes to Johnson, who I was on 88.5 with as her co-host and co-producer at one point. Keonta Massenberg, my goddaughter, my cousin Kimber Whitaker. Others are Satanya Ford, Kia Swintz, Tony Mambo, Michael Brinkley, Stephen Suggs, Brinley, Jerome Lord, Karina Fort, Pamela Bennett, Alicia Gross, Ferris Millen, Tony Lingard, Sonia Hudson Payne, Larry Floyd, who I used to act with, Candy Gant, the Baron, DJ Juan Coon, that's my homeboy, Howard Green, Albert McKeithen Jr., and I'm going to stop it right there, and I'm going to continue after the interviews with the birthday shout-outs. So I'm going to move on, and I'm going to have my first caller after I go to a music break. So let's see, what am I going to play? All right, I'm going to be ready by Yolanda Adams. That was Yolanda Adams. I'm going to be ready, a little throwback. I am Cherie Humphrey, and this is Talk to Me Radio. I'm going to plug in my first caller right now. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi there.
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing fine,
everybody.
Thank you. Yes, everybody. This is Karen Jennings, who I met over in Israel. She's calling out of Jersey. So, Karen, you are such a sweet person, and, you know, I really connect with you in that way that, you know, I know you have a lot of wisdom to share, and you are a teacher, you're a mom, you're an elder, a worship leader. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what that is to you, you know. Any one of those.
Oh, sure. I think number one, I'm a mom. That's the biggest and most important part of my life. And the lessons I've learned and the way I am, the patience I've gained, and the wisdom and the love, all of it stems from being a mom. My daughter, my oldest, is 32. She was born in 1991, and that moment changed my life forever. I was sort of a spoiled daddy's girl, and she came, and I started to understand what true love was. I thought I understood what love was, but I didn't, because I was just receiving. But then I had to start giving, and I wanted to give, and I understood that. And then 16 years later, I adopted a little girl named Destiny. Her mom needed someone to take her and recommended me to Child Services. So they came and checked out my house. You know how they do. They're no joke. Checked out my house, installed locks on the doors. And so she came. And then 2 years later, they called me. I was working, and they said, Destiny's little sister is without. Will you take her, or should we put her into the system? And I just couldn't let her go. So there I was again, starting all over. So I have two adopted daughters, 16 and 14. Yeah, so I'm a mom of three girls. And I always wanted boys, but you know what? God knows what I need. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And, you know, being a teacher, you have to have a special heart for children. I know I've never given birth, but I've had so many that I helped to raise family and, you know, otherwise, and played a great role in my life. And, you know, I couldn't stand kids when I was little, you know, when I was young. I was like, I'm not taking care of nobody else's child. I can't stand kids. Get them away from me. You know, but it takes a special person to take on someone else's child, especially full time. That's definitely a noble thing to do.
Oh, thank you, sis. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met over in Israel. It was so crazy because the first person I actually met out of us four ladies that kind of bonded was Aisha.
Yeah.
And then when we were at the hotel for dinner one night, it was Christine.
Yeah. That's right.
And then you introduced me to Christine, and and then Aisha came over, was like, hi, you know. And the next night she was sitting with us, and it was like we all clicked, you know.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how you felt at the time.
I'll be honest with you. It was, Israel was not what I expected, but I had asked a few people, so I knew that it wasn't going to be necessarily Aruba, right? I had that in mind, but this was a little more challenging than I thought it would be. The accommodations, you know, those kinds of things were a little surprising to me, but I'll be honest with you, no matter what happened during the day, and we saw some great things, had some great services, whatever happened during the day was the day, but that nighttime at dinner with two ladies who I just met, but I'm telling you, it was like I'd known you all my whole life. And so that made the trip for me. And so when people ask about it, that's probably one of the first things I'll mention. The nights were so beautiful.
Right.
So thank you, Fitz.
Absolutely.
And Aisha and Christina, thank you, man, because I was going and the person I was supposed to go with dropped out late. So I didn't know anyone. I didn't know a soul. And so thank God for you all, because that was how I knew it was going to be all right. Thank you.
Thank you, girl. It was like it just helped us to woosah and decompress and just have fun talking and getting to know each other. And you know me, I love telling jokes. So
you kept us laughing. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. So I know you are an elder at your church. Was that something that you were striving for, or was it something that just kind of happened in your life over time?
Now, can I be honest? Am I in a place where I can be real? Can I do that here?
Of course. Be real,
okay,
real.
Good. Okay, good, good, good. So in 1995 or maybe 93 or so, I really felt the Lord started speaking to me about ministry. And I'll be honest with you, I've always been singing, choir directing, worship leading. So I was like, Lord, I'm good. Like, this is good. I'm good with the music. I don't really, you know. And he was like, okay, I hear you, but you got to do what you got to do. So I became a minister in 95, and I was good there. I was really good. I spoke occasionally. You know, I did some good works in the community. That was good. And then my pastor at that time was like, you know, I'm going to ordain some elders. And so I was in the classes. But if I may be honest with you, he wasn't going to ask me to be an elder. But a lady that I've known all my life, I mean, from the cradle, she and her daughter and I were good friends. She went to him and she was like, so you're going to ordain all us. And because Karen is single and because Karen is young, you're going to leave her out? I don't think that's fair. So that's how I became an ordained elder. And that's because God is always looking out for me. You see what I mean? So I definitely was not looking for it. I did not expect it because I was single and I was young. And I know that in the church sometimes, single, young, or single, middle-aged, sometimes, you know, it's not, you're not looked at as completely serious because you don't have, like, marriage and, you know, all those things that sort of make you seem solid. So honestly, I was sort of surprised, but I found out afterward why I was being ordained. And I've forgiven him, you know, forgiven all that, but that's how it went.
Wow. And that's true. That's the, as a single woman, you know, who's been, you know, in the church all my life and someone who was in arts and entertainment most of my life, you know, this was never in the plan. Or, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, I didn't get ordained until 2012. You know, and so you were ordained, you know, way earlier than I was, and you know, that's how they look at women when they're single.
Yes.
A lot of people in leadership in the church, or they think you're coming in there to get their man.
Oh,
and,
my gosh!
You know,
yes,
honey, talk about it.
Yep.
Just give me one quick little story.
Well, I'll be very honest with you. You know what shocks me too? It's not even like, you know, I consider myself an attractive lady. I have no issues with that. But I mean, it'd be like the people who look like they have it all together, look like they should be in Vogue or something, and they'd be so nervous about their husbands. So I've learned, and my friends laugh at me, but when you see a married man that I know, after I say hello and maybe there's a side hug, the first thing I say is, how's your wife? Because I really don't want anything that belongs to anyone else. I never have.
That's right.
Like my own stuff. And I certainly don't want anybody else's. All right. So, I'll be honest with you. Exactly. I go out of my way to make sure that even if the wife and I are not friends, she is a part of everything, and I remind him. I keep him mindful of her as well because I don't have time. I don't have time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being in predominantly black churches for most of my life, you know, that has always been like the first thing of, you know, that is looked at when I walk in that door. Because, you know, I'm looking good, you know what I'm saying? I be sharp, you know. And, you know, my mind ain't thinking about your husband, ain't thinking about your man in leadership sitting in the pulpit.
Not at all.
None of that.
Not at all.
You know,
not at all.
Because, you know, and that's sad that, you know, that you have to feel that way as a single woman.
Yeah.
And be put in the position to have to feel as though you're doing something wrong when you're not.
Yes.
So I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
And you said you're a worship leader. So what is that? What, for people who don't know what a worship leader is, tell them what it is.
Basically, some people call it devotional leaders, but I after like the opening prayer or depending on the church, the opening scripture, I then kind of stand out front. I usually have a praise team behind me, and I lead the songs. So I choose the songs. I lead the songs. I might throw in some stuff that's not on the list. I may do a little freestyling, singing-wise, and then usually it goes over to the next part of service. That's my primary responsibility, is to carry the song service, the song portion of the service. That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the choir part, but that first opening part, that would be my responsibility
right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, got you. And so we know that you have, that you're, you know, you sing. Can you give us just a little taste of something?
Oh, sure. I was like, I know she's not playing Yolanda Adams, and then I'm supposed to sing. Nobody wants to sing after Yolanda Adams. But the song,
girl,
as I was saying.
Look, it'll be all right.
That's right, it will. As I was listening, the song that came to mind was an old Byron Cave song, so I'm just going to sing that. It says, it is to you I give the glory. It is to you I give the praise. For you have done so much for me, and I will bless your holy name. And I'll leave it there.
Yes, yes. I love it. Oh, this is my
Thank
first
you.
Time hearing you sing.
Oh, wow.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you, sister.
The last minute. I said, wait a minute. You're so welcome. I said, I can't believe I didn't ask her, you know, to see if she wanted to sing. Because if I know you can sing. So that is so wonderful. And I love Byron Cage. I had the opportunity to meet him once. And it's just like, oh, he touches to the bone.
Yes.
That's anointing.
Oh, my goodness. That's right.
He sings.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I tell you, in Israel, I would put on his CD, go out of my room, and I would sit like in, especially that last hotel, Yehuda, I would sit in a little area and just put his music on and read my Bible in the morning before the bus. So, yeah, he carried me through Israel as well. That was one of my secret weapons as well. You guys, you ladies, and Byron Cage in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I kind of kept my equilibrium. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You look, girl, for me, that trip was so daggone hard because I am not a morning person, especially not at no 6 in the morning. So it was a challenge in so many ways. And I know I'm not nice in the morning. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to talk. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to have my talk with the Lord real quick, you know, do what I do, read my scriptures, get my coffee, and have my first smoke. Other, if you bother me before that, I'm no good, you know. You might get a Cherie you don't expect.
Right.
And she is not nice.
I get it.
For
I
real.
Do.
Mm-hmm. But is there anything, words of encouragement you'd like to give before I, move on from the interview and go to break? Is there something you would like to say?
I would. I've been thinking about this question, are we ready? And I just want to say I'm hoping that everyone will be ready for the good things that are coming. All right? You and I went away on that trip. We expected one thing. Some of it was completely different, but there was a very good thing. There were people there that I'd never met before, but who have become my sisters. And so I would just encourage every caller, no matter what happens, no matter where you are, where you're going, expect something good, because good is coming, and it's going to keep coming.
Yes.
That's not going to change.
Yes.
So that's all I would
Amen.
Say. This has been such a pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to come on Diamond in the Rough Radio. This is so nice. I'm so pleased to be here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking out the time. I see Christine is up there listening right now. So, so I love you too, girl. Y'all are just like hold a special place in my heart. I've been telling everybody about y'all. All my other friends, they already know you.
Awesome. I'm honored.
Okay.
Okay.
But you have a great night. If you want to continue
Thank
listening, you.
You
could. I'm just
yeah,
going to mute
I'm
you.
Yeah, I'm staying on.
Yep. Okay. All right. Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care. You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Karen Jennings out of New Jersey. Such a beautiful spirit, and I love it. I am going to switch it up, and I'm going to play a little bit of We Ready by Archie Eversole and featuring Bubba Sparks. I'm not into, like, the new age rap. I don't even think there's a new one anyway, because it just has too much vulgarity and, you know, degrading women a lot of times, and half the time they're not speaking real words. So it just upsets me because I'm a hip-hop generation girl. So, but I'm going to play a little bit of it, and not in its entirety. But once I play this, I will come back, give a couple more announcements, and I will interview my last caller.
Come to do the rest. Step in the way, multiple are going through you. You must have gone fast and talking, boy. You was blessed. And I'm gonna take them out the game, y'all. It ain't no thing, y'all. You wanna, I rip you up like a chainsaw. The game's wrong, boy. Please believe it. Keep your Bible with you, cause you gon' be beating Jesus. Beating for thought, stopping hits. And Archie ain't gon' stop dropping. I'ma make $1 million and stand on the top of it. Rocking it.
There you have it. That was We Ready by Archie Eversole featuring Bubba Sparks. You are tuned in to Talk to Me Radio, Diamonds in the Rough, and my name is Sheree Humphrey. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Share the link. Share the link. Tell someone else about the show so they can listen in and tune in. I always want new people that are listening in. And for you old heads that continue so much, I appreciate you. I am going to say a couple more announcements, and then I'm going to plug my first caller in. Let's see where I left off on the birthday shout-outs. Birthday shout-out go to Gloria San Juan Caldwell, Taria Ferguson, who I met in Winston-Salem when I was living there, Shamika DeSilvia, Kiera Whitaker, my cousin, Jay the comedian, Siobhan Spinks with her cute self, Kathy Albright, Lady K. Johnson, Killary Yarbrough, Marie Davis of New Creation Step Team, which is my cousin, Tamika Nelson, Shakia Merrill, Reverend Ina Anderson, Deanna McMillan, Naj PJ, we used to be Unionites together at a Union Baptist, Treasure Marie, Marcy Wilson, Shonda Whitaker, consider her like a cousin, Linda Dunn, Michael Hyman, and he holds a special place in my heart, and I'm going to leave it at that. Christ Wilson, Al Sims, Talib Shabazz, Rose Board, recording artist, Telly, PJ Martin, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, who has been on this show. Many of them have. Scott Estelle, who is the president of the NAACP here in Connecticut, the head of the NAACP, excuse me. Corey Lynn, my cousin. Freddie Muzan, Christopher Williams, the Christopher Williams, who has been on this show before. Lynn Mosher, Cindy Goya, my friend in elementary school back in the day, Angela Cookie Edwards, John Litt, who I had a crush on back in seventh grade, Angel Humphrey, my cousin Sharan, and my cousin Alvin Frazier, whose birthday is today. And so I'm going to click in my next caller.
Well, I guess we're live then, huh? Hello?
Hello, yeah, we're live.
Hi, Cherise. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Can you hear me?
What's going on? I can hear you.
Not
good.
Can much.
You hear me?
Just having you on the show, that's good enough for tonight. You know, everyone, this is John Espo out of Stanford, who is a comedian, who I met some time ago at Mika Jean's comedy show here in Bridgeport. So how are you feeling today, sir?
I'm good. I can't complain for a Monday. I'm actually still on vacation, so I'm not complaining until next week.
All right. I hear that. It's always good to be on vacation.
Amen.
Yeah. So tell me, John, you know, how did your career get started? You know, I know you've done Apollo. I've done Apollo. Many people who are great greats have gone that way. What pushed you into this area of comedy?
Not to sound cliche, but ultimately it was God putting people in my path to give me the opportunity. Very long story short, it's one thing when you're friends and family, and my wife is a very big push in this. One thing when your friends and family tell you you're funny, but then when someone you don't know says, well, hey, have you ever thought about doing comedy? Well, no. And then it snowballed from there. And now a good friend who I didn't know at the time, his cousin Ray Norris had a show in the Bronx, and I just kept showing. He got on Monday. It was like, hey, do you want to go see a show? Yeah, sure. Why not? By Thursday, I talked to my cousin. If you want 5 minutes, it's yours. And that was, to me, that was God saying, all right, dude, it's time. Here's your opportunity. Take it and do what you will with it. So that's really
right.
How I got started.
And how old was you?
And it's been an amazing
ride. Around
40.
And how old were you?
I'm having my midlife.
You were.
I was 40 years old. I'm having my midlife crisis on stage. And it's amazing.
Wow, isn't that something?
It is.
Well,
some guys buy cars.
The last time I saw you.
Go ahead.
No, I said the last time
cars,
I saw you.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna punch
last
you right in your neck.
I know. You want to talk? I want to talk. We just talking.
Go ahead, John. Say what you gotta say, boy.
No. Go ahead. The last time you saw me. Go ahead. This is your show, Miss Lady.
The last time I saw you. Now you got me laughing. Stop. We were at Kim's house up in Meredith. And you were doing the show,
that was...
you, Mika Jean, Misconduct, and it was hot like
yes,
fire
ma'am.
Out there. Yeah,
oh.
Well, we had a great time.
Oh, God, and it didn't start, the sun didn't come out until I took the stage. It was ridiculous. It was nuts. It was overcast. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, all right, go ahead. Melt, motherfucker. Excuse me. Sorry.
You was turning red as a beet. I said, Lord, have mercy.
Oh,
help him. Help him, Lord.
I go from white to red. That's it. There's no in-between. There's no tan for me.
I felt bad for you. I really did.
No, but we had a really good time, and thank you to Kim and Chris. That was a really good time. Everybody was
yes,
there for comedy. They set it up wonderfully, and it's great when you show up and people want and are ready for comedy.
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to go when she first gave it, but I wasn't able to make it, and I said, you know what? I am definitely going to do everything I can to be there, and I wasn't disappointed. Her place was just beautiful. But tell me, you know, like when you said you did this 5 minutes for the first time, you know, mm-hmm. you could have said to yourself, this is just a little 5-minute thing. This ain't for me.
What I said to
know?
Myself, I knew that night. See,
you knew that night.
Strangely, I've wanted to do stand-up comedy since I was a child, but never had the avenues or the guts to go out and figure it out. When these
right.
opportunities were placed in front of me, I said, the first time I took the stage, I said, if I get one laugh, I'm coming back. I got the
right.
laugh I needed.
Okay.
I kept
yes.
coming back. And then
okay.
I kept so Ray used to co-produce this show with Kenny Wu, who was my mentor. And I just kept showing up at the show. And like 3 months in, Kenny said to me, he's like, all right, man, you're not giving up, so let's go make you a real comedian. And I've been rocking with Kenny ever since, and on my own. But you really need a mentor or good people around you in comedy, and that I've been
yes.
lucky, very lucky, blessed.
Yes, absolutely. And I know the feeling. You know, I've been a jokester since I was a little girl. I used to put shows on for my family. I was either pop locking and doing little spins on the floor or doing comedy. And one time I made my grandmother bust her behind on the floor. I felt so bad. I was crying. It was crazy.
Yeah, so those are some of the best memories. Remember when Grandma broke her hip?
Exactly. And, you know, she knew I was sorry. She felt bad for me.
of course.
My mother didn't feel the same, you know.
Oh, hell no. Oh, grandparents
exactly.
and parents are two different stories. You know this.
Sure are. Sure are. And so when you were young, did you see yourself as funny then, or were you interested in something else?
Truthfully, I've always been interested in all sorts of different things, all kidding aside, but I've
okay.
always loved laughter. I've always, you have
right.
to laugh. I
yes.
grew up around the funeral industry, as I think if you remember my closing joke, I grew up around the funeral industry, and when you're raised around death, you got to figure out how to laugh. All
yes, you
aside.
Do. Yes, you do.
Yeah,
yes,
you know what I'm saying?
My
so
great-grandmother bringing me to the – wait a minute now. Tell me what funeral home, because I bet I know exactly what you're talking about.
So my father worked for Cognetta Funeral Home in Stamford for almost 15 years.
I know the name from my grandmother. Oh my God, yeah. My great grandmother used to bring me to the funeral homes, and I used to just play with the bodies, and I couldn't understand why they were so cold. I used to be poking them in the face and the forehead, and I didn't understand.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say cold, because everybody's like, oh my God, it's so cold. Think about it this way, though. They're not cold. They're room temperature.
Right. Oh.
How about that? We're the hot ones, so when we touch them, they're cold to us. But they're actually room temperature. It's not like they're freezing.
Oh, my goodness.
With the body.
Wow.
Nobody. It's crazy, right?
Yes. And because I'm from Stamford, so I figured it would probably be the same place my grandmother would take me from time to time. Why she was in there, I don't even know.
Yeah, right.
But, as a teenager, you know, you kind of, you know, every teenager wants to fit in. That's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to stand out. They want to do what everybody else is doing most of the time.
Mm.
So how do you
yes.
think that you stood out as a teenager from among the rest? Or were you more the type that wanted to?
No, I rocked pretty much with everybody. I was friends with at least one or two people in just about every group from, you know, top to bottom of Stamford, all kidding aside.
Okay.
So it stood out. I was more of the social, but not, you know, when we were having a good time, yeah, I was funny, but we were just, honestly, I actually, when I was younger, you got a couple cocktails in me, there was a show. I forgot about all that. So that might have been that might have been one or two ways I stood out.
Right, right. So, you know, where do you see yourself going with this? Where are there any like major spots that you performed at so far?
Aside from Apollo, I've performed at the New York Comedy Club in Stamford. I've performed at the Stress Factory in Bridgeport, as well as the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. I've done a few of the different improvs traveling with Team Capone. Those are some of the bigger ones.
You said Capone?
I'm not a regular Yes. I'm also Team Capone.
Okay.
Or at least I've traveled with Team Capone. And Cap is a great guy. And always willing to help and give people who are hungry stage time.
I hear that. Yeah, because I had Capone on my show maybe, 2 years ago or three?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had so many comedians.
He's funny. You want to talk about funny? That motherfucker.
Yes.
Funny. Good.
Him, J.B. Justice, Cheryl Kelly, you know, the list goes on.
The Green Eye Band.
Yeah,
and you mentioned Jay earlier. You mentioned Jay in your announcements. Don't count Jay.
Jay was on.
He's hysterical. If you haven't gotten a chance to see Jay the Sing Median, good God!
Oh,
you're in for
look,
a treat.
He took
Any,
over my
anybody
show.
You I... just named? You know, I'm sure he did. Because he don't.
Yeah.
He sings it. Oh, he doesn't give a shit. And he's any of the names you just mentioned are worth the ticket price. So,
yes.
And
yes,
it's amazing
are.
That you support comedy that you do the way you do.
Yes. I love to laugh. I love to make people laugh. It's healing. It's helped me through some hard situations, you know, so I love it. And I try to support as many comedians as I come into contact with, you know, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Finish telling the story about Capone and
which
guy you were talking about.
Saying that any one of those guys that you mentioned are worth going to see. We're worth paying the money to go see.
Right, right. Where do
you
plan on going? Which is.
Where do I plan on going? All kidding aside, I want to make people laugh for the rest of my life. Am I in it for the money? No. But do I need to make money? Yes. So during the day,
absolutely.
I'm a plumber. And during the night, I'm a comedian, so I take the stage. But my plan is, by the time my body, I can finally save my body from hard work. To be able to make money, not in comedy. You know, I want to, at the very least, be an amazing feature, if not a headliner. Listen, do I want to be a headliner? Of course. But there's a lot of stress that comes with that, too. And I'm looking to retire. I'm 44 years old, and I'm already making plans. And it's funny you mentioned that, because the other side of that coin is I just bought an olive farm in Greece. Yeah,
sink
in for a hot second. Yeah, so I want to spend 6 months of the year here and 6 months of the year there, both doing comedy and in the olive oil trade.
That is wonderful.
You probably weren't expecting that.
That is wonderful. No, I wasn't. You threw me for a loop for that one, but we all love olive oil. And, you know, funny you said that because over in Israel, it is like, the olive industry, agriculture, is so important. You know, the type of olives, the different, you know, the quality of the olive, the olive oil. I mean, I bought a couple things of olive oil to bring back, you know, for, you know, anointing yourself and stuff like that. But,
You would be amazed at how incredible olive oil actually is. Not only is it delicious on salads and on bread and all in for cooking, but it also has antibacterial and antibiotic properties as well. And I thought it was crazy, but my wife's family comes from a little village in Greece. And when I tell you little, Girl, it is 30 people residence, 30 people, not 30,000, not 300, not 30, and they're all above the age of
30,
50, yeah. Dying off. But
wow,
where they are is in miles of mountain range, and 90% of this mountain range is covered in olive trees. And it is one of the most amazing, things you can have, and not just put in your body, but also put on your body. There's many different things, such as soaps and ointments that are made of olive oil. So from the time I got there, so I never even thought about buying an olive farm. I actually, my wife's family has them, and when she brought me there in 2013, I fell in love with the place. I wanted to just have a place to retire. And I ended up, we started 2 years later, we started looking, putting out feelers, but it took years to find something. And finally her aunt was like, hey, I know this place, go talk to these people. And for a reasonable price, we got fucking 1,000 olive trees and a house with 2 units. And the reason I mention the house is I'm also going to try and set, not try, but I'm also going to set it up as, if I have to use it as a vacation destination property, I can do that as well. My wife is an energy healer as well, so she can do advertise for retreats as well as for yoga and just agricultural tourism in Europe. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. Well, not yet. I'm in the very early stages of setting up for this retirement dream. So, you know, you make plans and God goes, ha, 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 ha. You thought you were doing
it. Oh, I know
so
all about
we'll see
it.
What happens, but thank you. Thank
yes,
you. So I want to sling jokes and olive oil for the rest of my life.
That's all right. Yeah. As long as you invite me over one day when you get settled.
Amen.
I've never been to Greece.
We start renovations this fall, and it'll be ready by 2025, 2026 latest. And I'm also putting together a comedy event in the major port city where we are in Greece. So that's another cool aspect of retiring there.
Yes.
Every year.
Yes,
every
absolutely.
Year, this area is, I know I'm kind of taking control with this shit, but every year, long story short, the area we are is flooded with a lot of English speakers, tons of English speakers. They come back for a specific festival that they have every year and to visit family. So I want to give them an additional option of entertainment. So that's I'm also planning a comedy event in Greece as well. So you are definitely invited.
Oh, it's going to be hot. Oh, my God.
Oh, you know it.
I got to get myself. Okay, what year you said? 2026?
2025 is when I am shooting to have the comedy thing going.
Okay. So I give myself 3 years to get it together and try to get, you know, one of my bosses who I had, she was from Greece. She gave me a chance.
Okay.
She made me a leader at an after-school program that was an adult position when I was a teenager because she knew how I can handle it. She knew that I was a strong person. And I would come and approach her, okay, I need my raise now. And I tell her what I wanted. She got a kick out of me. So, you know, she was from Greece, and she used to tell us a little bit, bits and pieces, people that worked for her for many years, you know, what you know, to expect if you go over to Greece and stuff. Do you have black beaches?
What's that?
Over there?
Black beaches. There are somewhere, I believe, in the islands, there's a black sand beach somewhere. I'm not sure where it is.
Okay.
A lot of the beaches over there are silver and gold type beaches.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, she told
yeah,
me
some
about
have
the
white
black
sand.
Beaches and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, there's even a red one in Crete. I know that one. I know that much. And on the island of Crete, there's a red beach. Yeah, no, it's and that's the cool part. You can go to the islands and have an amazing time, But what you want to do is go to the less touristy islands. This way you get a more authentic experience, and they're not beating you over the head with prices, because in the touristy areas, they triple the prices there. I was paying $5 for salad where I was, $5 for a salad. You go to the main spots, the touristy spots, you're paying 15 to 20.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? But I think that's everywhere, because it's like when I went to Israel, I was like, I know these prices are being jacked up. But what can you do? I don't even know what a shekel is.
Make friends with a local.
Exactly. You know, and they're going to try to get on it, too. So it's like nobody can't be trusted.
Oh, hell, you trust nobody, but be open to experience. Trust no. Listen, we know we're not stupid. We're some street smart people. It doesn't matter what street
you're in.
You know the vibe. You know the vibe. Get the fuck out.
Yes, you know a hustler when you see one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The truth. So, John, the question for tonight is, are we ready? And that can mean many things. What comes to mind when you think about that?
Are we ready? That's a lot. That's a loaded question.
It sure is.
Are we ready? I don't know what we're ready for, truthfully. I don't know if we're ready. I don't know. I'm assuming what comes to mind is society as a whole. There's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel as far as I can see, but there's so much shit clouding the world we live in today. I joke and say we live in a really bad movie, but it's true. It's really true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're ready for, but I honestly think if you're talking about America as a whole,
mm-hmm.
we're ready for whatever gets thrown at us. Because when it comes down to it, we all usually will band together.
Society as
the world, listen, the human race is like ants. We're always going to survive. We're always going to survive and figure it out. I think we're ready, but I don't know what the hell we're ready for. That's a scary one. I don't know what we're ready for. There's a lot of crazy shit going on. Crazy.
Okay. You know, when I said that, just popped up in my mind when I was writing, setting up the shows. And then I started to think to myself, what am I ready for? Like, am I ready for the things that I prayed for? Am I ready to start, to change in this area? Am I ready to, do the things that I've dreamed of? And I had to sit down and think about that because, if the situation changes, what are you ready for? I mean, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm ready to be rich. But then again, are you? Are you really ready? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What are your plans? How you going to handle it?
I've always couple things. I'm not. I am ready for what God deems me. I'm not I'm a very spiritual man. I'm not religious. I don't go to church. In the eyes of the church, I'm a heathen. But I have a very, very good connection and relationship with God and angels. I pray 2 to 3 times a day.
Yes.
And that's only happened in the last couple of years. That's only happened in the last couple of years, truthfully, because that's what I mean by I'm ready for what I need to just. One of the things I've been living my life by is, like I said, I'm a plumber. And when you're tightening things as a plumber on say a radiator or a pump that's on a heat line, you have to go slowly tightening these bolts. So you go a quarter turn at a time with steady pressure. And that's how I have to live my life.
Right.
Quarter turn at a time with steady pressure and be ready for whatever is next. Because that's the only way. You have to stay humble. Like I could win the lottery tomorrow, but you have to stay humble. And having people around you that keep you humble and keep you in check, That is one of the biggest parts of the game. And one of the things that Kenny Wu has always said to me, Wu has always said, you ain't got to get ready if you stay ready.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Always be
that's
ready.
That's the truth.
Always be ready. Ready to take the save, ready to take the hit, ready to move forward.
Right. Absolutely. That's absolutely. And we try, and when we know that we're
not
ready, then we got to get ready. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, for instance, I could
get
say,
right with you.
I'm ready. Huh? What'd you say?
You got to get right with you. When you say you get ready,
that's right.
To me, is you got to get right with you. Stop worrying about everybody else. Get right with you.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Because when I think about it, you know, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be anything big, but, you know, it, like I'm praying for certain deliverances in my life. And I sit back and because I always analyze everything. I just, my mind just doesn't stop sometimes. And I think about, okay, if I get delivered, am I really ready? Okay, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to be the after effect? How am I going to deal with that? How is it going to affect the people around me? You know, so I'm thinking about all of those different things, you know, and are we ready? You know, that, like you said, that could be on a community level, a social issue. You know, were we ready for COVID? No, we were not. Not the way that
it
affected us. We figured it out. We figured it out over time. But, you know, a lot of people passed away in that situation. You know, so, you know, I try to think about different things. So I just wanted to ask the question. There's no wrong or right answer. And no, you should not care about what others think, you know, because half the people that are in church are trying to get right themselves. And who cares what they think? You know what I'm saying? I would say something
you care
right
what
now,
they think
but
you lose.
Right, exactly.
The minute you care what everybody else thinks, you lose. Because if they don't matter in your life, their opinion doesn't matter. It's the people that love you want to see the best for you.
Right. Are they paying my electric bill? No, they're not. Okay, I got to go home and see these people? No, I don't.
Nope.
So in the thick of things, we can't worry about, they think this and they think that. I want to say something, but I can't. So I can't. I ain't going to go there. Thank you. You said it for me. So you just got to worry about your own soul salvation and what that looks like and how can you grow as a person. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing, I wouldn't even be going to church if it said don't forsake the fellowship of the saints, you know, and, you know, just being around other people who can, I don't even know, say strengthen me, but that know that are walking on the same path, that are trying to get to the same place I'm trying to get to. Because, like I said, I don't got no relationship with these people when I go home. I don't see them all week.
No.
I don't see them till I go back. You know what I mean? You know,
they don't have to answer for your shit. So.
Oh, no. There's only one God, and they're not going to be there when I got to answer to him. They ain't going to be nowhere around it. Neither is our family.
That's why I don't give a shit what they think. Whatever you want. If you're talking about me, you hate me, go ahead, baby. You just spread
my
name. Spread it.
Yes.
He sucks. Go ahead and watch him. Go look, he sucks.
He's crazy, boy. But thank you so much, John, for coming on the show. I appreciate you.
Oh, Sharice, thank you.
Yes. And where you gonna be at next? Are you going to the show that Mika is doing? And I think it's what she say. What day was that show? Oh my God! There's so many events coming up that I can't keep track.
Oh yeah, she's got a ton of stuff. I think she's got me booked on something like October, November. But in the coming weeks, at Sugar Hollow Tap Room on Route 7 in Danbury, there's an open mic on the 5th. But they also run shows. I'm their resident host for the shows that they do. I think the next one is on the Oh, actually, I'm with Damien and Brandon Reeves at City Winery on the 16th. Shit. You know what? I'm going to post it on my Instagram. So if anybody doesn't mind, I'll throw it on my It's Espo Comedy on Instagram, Espo Comedy on TikTok, and John Esposito on Facebook. So you can find me there.
All right.
If you want to know anything about comedy, hit me up.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful night. And
you too. Thank you so much for the interview. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always great to see you, and thank you for supporting comedy the way you do. It's amazing.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. There you have it. That was John Espo. And he is a comedian I had on Karen Jennings earlier. If you missed the entirety of the show, please go back and listen. Share the link with someone. Give this chance to upload after the show is over. I'm going to go to another music break, and I'm going to play a little bit of the Fugees, Ready or Not. And I think it's like the 25th anniversary of Lauryn Hill making this song in the Fugees or something like that. I know it's an anniversary, and Lauryn Hill represented so many great things for us as a black community. So I love her music, and I will continue to love her music. So I'm going to play a little bit of Ready or Not.
So I'd like to let the product make comments.
That was the Fugees, Ready or Not, featuring Lauryn Hill. And I am going to read some of my past guests, and hopefully I will continue to have a voice to do that. And then we'll get to the salvation prayer. Those who have graced this show, and this is just some, it's not everybody, because I don't even remember everybody. The original Spinderella. Melba Moore, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladisaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, D. Lucas, DJ Juan Kuhn, Michael Dunham, Bonita Brooks, Ernest Brown, Tamar Cardwell, Al Thomas, Yo-Yo, the legendary hip-hop artist, Donnell Jones, legendary R&B singer, Special Ed, legendary hip-hop artist, Davey Lozano, Randy Young, Joe Sho, Nick Kelly, Nick Agneto, the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.B. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Norman Tappan, Chris Clark, Mo Green, Monique Smith, Dre Romero, Spencer Camp. Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A-Plus Hollywood, Tony Berg, King Mafioso, Jonathan Du Bois Jr. and Sr., Ame Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Elder Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, my mom, Andrea Daniels, my sister, Charles Fulton, Sebastian Trivi, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier Capone, J. Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judah Thiele, I think I said Darren Cookie Moore, the producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, A. Curtis Farrow, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazell, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Ms. Conduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, J. Trey Gorn, Coffee Gorn, Deborah Williams, Don Nottingham of the Stylistics, Midnight, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, Arthur M.L. Brooks, Odelia, Marcia Sapp of New York, Carissa Dow, violinist of New York, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, my cousin, John Hinton, Bernadette Barnes of New York, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green of WYBC, Rasheen Dixon of WYBC, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Lyle Hassan Jones, Pierre Guten, Ashley Mondestin, Prophet Ramai Jubilani, Pastor Arlene Henry, Songbird, Dave Farrell of California, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Dwight Lamar of New York, Maris Goldstein, I can't even see the letters, but that's my auntie. I call her my auntie. Her Boy Jr., Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Damon Cook, Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T., Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, former co-producer of McDonald's Gospel Fest, Matthew Kirkwood, Big T, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Kia Swintz, Robbie Jenkins, Marilyn Moore, Naja McKenzie, Najia Treat of New Jersey, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethia, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, Carolyn Smith, Kayla, what does it say? Mr. Council, Nini Ali, Frankie Brady, Elder Savon DeGaskew, Pamela Wright, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman of New York, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazz E. Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Bishop Ernest Richardson, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zacks, violinist, David Davis, saxophonist, Anthony E. Brown, recording artist, Jr., should I add, Ernest Arnell Grant, Brian DeCauzy, Doremus Williams, many of these people are recording artists too, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey out of New York, Cool Bubba Ice, Humphrey Bogart, Marlon Randolph, Lachey Nicole, Santi M. Robinson, Johnny Lemon, Karina Fort, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Ebony was an ex, CC Lee, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Band, Norman Tappan, Monique Smith, and some other interviews I've done with media. They've, you know, some people have been interviewed on the radio, some with media reporting. Vicki Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holliday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary Mary, Bobby Valentino, Diedrich Haddon, and many more. Nigel, Dr. Jell Dunkley, Janet Dawson, Velasquez Singers out of New Jersey, Walter Armistead out of New York, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green of New Jersey, Sammy Maximum, John the Apprentice, couple more names, well, a few more names, Tony Doc Hardy, Anthony Delavan, Derek O.C. Reed, Marlon Baker, Pookie Williams, Kareem Blue, Katrina Atkinson, Black Sav, Lakeisha Henderson, Jonathan Edwards, Angelique Jones, Priscilla Princess Jones, J.N. Marie, Miss Jones, Steph Jones, and Key Dollar. And like I said, many, many more. If you've been on this show and you want me to shout out your name, hit me up on social media or just text me. And I am going to go to another song and then come back to the prayer salvation prayer. Excuse me. I'm going to play a little bit of Ready for Love by Indy Irie.
I am ready for love. Why are you hiding from me? I'd quickly give my freedom to be held in your captivity. Cause you might receive.
That is such a beautiful song. My question is to you, are you ready? Are you ready for the ultimate love, which is Christ Jesus? Abba Father, are you ready to receive real love in your heart? And then you would be ready for love from a human being, the type of love that you can give to each other. I believe that I'm ready. I believe that now I am willing to commit. It's been almost 18 years since I've been celibate and trying to, you know, heal from past hurt, past damage, so that I won't bring a baggage into a new relationship. So in any case, and I'm not talking about no old relationships that I had, no. I need to make that very clear. In any case, because X is just popping up all over the place. No, thank you. Anyway, Romans 10, 9 through 11 says in the New Living Translation, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And so you can openly declare that, you know, and be in front of your sister, in front of your brother, your cousin, your mama, your daddy. It can be at church. But once you do that, just know that it's not going to be an easy ride. So if someone told you that, they lied to you. It is a work. It is a work of progress and moving forward in the spirit, the things of God. And that takes effort, and you have to be enlightened, educated. You have, you know, educated in the sense of the Bible. And, you know, education outside of that is nothing wrong with it. I have my master's degree certified 6 times through the state on many different initiatives, gone through many ministry classes and leadership, theology, administration, et cetera. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about the Bible right here. So are you ready to open up your heart? And if you are, find you a local church that you can grow in that is not going to cause further damage, but going to help you to grow, going to help you to love and heal in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio. I was your host and producer on tonight, Cherie Humphrey. So tell someone about the show. God bless and good night. I'm going to take us out with a little bit of one of my favorites. Sugar Free by M. Toomey.